Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And I'm going to focus on, there's two places in the scripture, here in Matthew 18 and Luke 15, which we'll turn to in a second, about the shepherd who loses a sheep. So Matthew 18, I'm going to start in verse 10. And I do have a question. Does God ever throw parties? Does God ever throw a party? So I want you to just keep that in mind. Don't run out yet. Let's look at the scripture before you panic. So let's Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to start in verse 10. Jesus says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones." He's talking about children, little children. "For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." That if when you look down on little children, they have guardian angels and they report back to the Father when you look down on them and you don't love them and treat them right. Verse 12, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." So Jesus is talking about children here, and he's talking about little children kind of being lost, wandering away from the faith and being lost. Now, I want to switch gears for a second, and I want to talk about the Chilean mining accident that occurred in 2010. In 2010, these 33 miners worked in the bottom of a copper mine, and here's the picture of the mine. And if you can see, if you can hit the lights, at least just for this slide, and then we'll turn them back on. Do you see the white that looks like a spiral going down? That was the pathway down the copper mine. And those miners were at the bottom, which is about a half a mile deep. And the spiral, sections of the spiral mine collapsed and was unstable. And those miners got stuck at the very bottom in the heat and in hell. Well, it took 12 days for them to drill a little pilot hole because no one knew if they were alive or not. So they drilled a pilot hole down, and after 12 days, for 12 days, those men were in there with a little bit of water and food, and they could hear the drill. So they knew something was happening, but they also knew how difficult to get rescued is. And eventually, the 12th day, that the little drill pokes through, and they attach a note to it that says, "Hey, we're alive. There's 33 of us. We're here." And they pull out the drill. And, of course, all of Chile is like, "Those miners are alive. We have to do whatever it takes." All the family is there. Everyone is excited that after 12 days of not knowing, we now know they're alive down there. And so the Chilean government said, "Hey, the whole world is watching us. Everyone is going to see how we handle the rescue of these 33 men. We better go all out. We better spend the millions. We better do whatever it takes to save those 33 men. Nothing is, no cost is too expensive." And so they hired 3 drilling companies. And I believe one of them was from Pennsylvania. And wherever these 3 drilling companies are, and you see them, they got them up at the top there. They had plan A, drill, on the right, and plan B, and plan C. So all 3 drilling companies were drilling at the same time to rescue those 33 men. In case one drilling operation failed, they had 2 more going. Usually in the past, you only have 1, but they've learned from other mining accidents, let's go all out. We've got plan A, B, and C, and we'll see which one is successful. Well, it took them 2 months. In fact, the miners, they had to drill, you know, they first drilled a little bit bigger hole, and then when they were drilling the hole big enough for, that's the miners down, that's an actual picture of them down inside the mine waiting for the 2.5 months. They had to drill the hole big enough for that to go in. The miners actually had to work nonstop around the clock, because as the drill was drilling, all of the dirt and the rock fell down the hole to where the miners were, and so they were hauling off tons of dirt out of all of the holes to keep clearing the path. And then after 2.5 months, took a day to get them all up out of the mine, and there was a celebration and a party in Chile like you can't believe. The whole country was celebrating the rescue of the 33. So, again, I ask a question, does God ever throw a party? Now, we like to celebrate, like the Chileans celebrated the rescue of these 33 miners. And in fact, I was working on this week, and I don't know if you saw, some Chinese miners just got rescued in the news. We like to celebrate. 2 days ago was my wife's birthday, and we're celebrating it today. We like to celebrate birthdays, and we like to celebrate the 4th of July, and we like to celebrate anniversaries, and we like to just get with friends and have a party. We just like to celebrate. And so my question is there something in God, since we're created in the image of God, is there something that's in God that causes us to like to celebrate too? Does God ever throw a party? Does he ever celebrate? So Jesus talks about this shepherd has 100 sheep, like 100 children in their Sunday school class. And one sheep wanders off. Jesus says, you know, the good shepherd goes after that lamb, that sheep that goes off to rescue, to bring it back. And it says in verse 14 there, in the same way your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost, that's what a good shepherd does. It goes after, especially children that wander away from the Lord, goes after them. A good shepherd looks for lost sheep. That's what shepherds will do. Sheep sometimes are kind of a little bit dumb, and things happen, and they get lost. A good shepherd looks for lost sheep. In Ezekiel, there's a message to pastors. And Ezekiel's saying to the pastors that they're not good shepherds. So here's the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the pastors of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You get paid well as a pastor, but you're not taking care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. That's why I think it's important we open up the altars. Because I don't want anyone to get to heaven and go, Pastor Joe never gave me an opportunity to ask for prayer, for a weakness or for healing or whatever. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. A good pastor looks for the strays and searches for the lost. A good Sunday school teacher of children, you have 12 children, and you notice one Sunday, little Susie's missing. And the second Sunday goes by, and little Susie's not there. And the third Sunday goes by, and little Susie's not there. The good shepherd, the good Sunday school teacher, Awana teacher, VBS teacher, even adult teacher, says, you know what? Let's give Susie a call. Because a good shepherd looks for lost sheep and for strays. They may need a word of encouragement. Something may be happening. God cares about children who are lost. You know, my wife and I had 6 kids, and every so often, whether it's at Kennywood or the mall, we would lose one of our kids. And you know, we go into hyper, you're going to move heaven and earth to find your kid. Chileans, the country of Chile, they spent millions of dollars to save those 33 people. Do we care about the sheep that attend this church? Now, I want you to come to Luke. I'm going to skip this. Come to Luke 15. Luke 15. So this is the second place that Jesus talks about the shepherd leaving the 99 to find the one. So turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. Luke chapter 15 is actually got three parables that are all tied together. They basically all have the same message, but let's look at them. Luke 15, starting in verse 1. So is everyone Luke 15? Verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so Jesus now speaks a parable to them, and it is clear that he's talking about himself. So he speaks this parable to the tax collectors, the sinners, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. It is clear from this parable that Jesus is probably really directing to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and going, hey, there's a shepherd that goes and finds a lost sheep. And what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that's these tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners, the Republicans and the Democrats, the down and outers, right? I'm a shepherd. That's my role. And I have found them. They're having a relationship with me, and I'm the Son of God. They're repenting. They're coming back to God. And I've invited you, Pharisees, church people, teachers of the law, I've invited you as friends to celebrate that these people that are lost, I have found them, and they've come to know God. We need to celebrate. And in the same way, there is celebration taking place in glory. Every commentary believes that this is talking about Jesus. You'll notice the care of the sheep that is found. Does Jesus beat the sheep? Does Jesus say to the sheep, "Oh, you, how dare you get lost? Why didn't you obey and listen to me?" He cares for the sheep, and he puts the sheep on his shoulder and takes it lovingly back to the fold. So we have the son. And now he goes right into the second parable. Verse 8. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the church people, the Jewish religious leaders. Verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then he moves into number 3. So there's the woman with the coin. And then he moves right into verse 11. All three of these are connected at the same time. Jesus continued. And of course, this is the parable of the prodigal son. Verse 11, Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth and wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, He said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him," and by the way, we believe this parable is all about the heavenly Father. Just as we believe the first parable is all about Jesus as the good shepherd, this is about the heavenly Father. So he's going to go back to the Father, verse 18, and I'm going to say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father was looking. The father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring, the robe of righteousness. Put a ring on his finger, the ring of sonship. And sandals on his feet to share the good news. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a party." Oh, some versions might have, "Let's have a feast." "Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. All right, let me stop there. So in parable one, we have the son who's the shepherd who looks for the lost sheep. In parable number three, we have the heavenly father. And when the son comes back, the father sees him and rushes out to him and hugs him and welcomes him home. But in the middle, we have the parable of the woman. Who is the woman with the lost coins? Now, some people go, that's just, Jesus just told a story about a woman that lost 10 coins. I mean, or lost one of the coins of the 10. But I don't believe that, because I've just noticed that every single word in the scripture is there for a reason. The Holy Spirit didn't put one word that was unnecessary, and there's always meaning in everything. It's amazing. So who is the woman? So some commentaries say the woman is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand something. It's very clear in Scripture that the Holy Spirit, most of the time, 99% of the time, is referred to as a he, as a male. But women are created in the image of God, and I have a whole sermon that someday I'll do, but a whole sermon on, if you want to know what the role of a woman is, just look at the role of the Holy Spirit, because they're almost identical. It is amazing. So it's as if God placed into woman the attributes that kind of are specific to the Holy Spirit. So it could be that the woman represents the Holy Spirit. Now, and I don't know where I'm just giving you the thoughts. You can decide where you're at. Another reason why they think it's the Holy Spirit is you'll notice that in that parable, when the woman loses a coin, do you notice what she does? She what? She lights a lamp and sweeps, searching for that lost coin. Well, interesting enough, it is the Holy Spirit that illumines and lightens the way for people to come to salvation. Otherwise, we'd always be in darkness. And it is interesting that the Holy Spirit is referred to as like wind sweeping here and there, you know, looking for souls. So if it is the Holy Spirit, what it's saying is the Son is looking for the lost. The Holy Spirit is lighting a lamp to illumine to seek the lost. And the Father is looking for the lost and rushes out and hugs you. The whole Trinity is involved in the souls, lost souls of people. Now, the other interpretation, it's two of them, that the woman is Israel or the church. Because in Scripture, Israel is referred to as a woman often, and the church, the bride of Christ, is referred to as a woman. So it could be the church is referred to. Probably at that point, it's Israel. It's as if Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, don't you realize that God has blessed Israel, that we're supposed to be spiritually looking for lost people? That's the call of Israel, and that truth would be the same of the church. Don't you know, church, that we're called to go make disciples, that we're called to seek and save the lost? So it could be that Jesus is looking for the lost, the church is looking for the lost, and the Father is looking for the lost. I'll let you kind of decide where you would like to go. Note the different types of lost people. So in parable number one, about Jesus as a shepherd, it definitely looks like in that parable, he's going after people that are totally pagan. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, these are people that didn't grow up in church. These are, today we would say, these are the unchurched. They may be atheists, they may be Muslims, Buddhists, they, you know, all over the world. And maybe I'm in this category. Just, they're lost people who don't know anything about the scriptures and the Bible. And Jesus reaches them. The second one with the woman loses her coin where? Where did she lose her coin? In the house. She loses her coin in the house. If the woman is the church, then this speaks of the lost person who's in the house, who's in the church. Now, I know that sounds hard to believe, but unfortunately, there are many people who go to the church who are lost in the house. They're lost. I think the worst nightmare for a pastor is to someday stand before Jesus and the Lord say to me, Joe, I don't know if you know this, but so-and-so isn't coming to heaven because they were lost in the house. And I'd be just sick. You're kidding. I preached all those years, all those opportunities for them to come to Jesus, and you're lost in the house. May the Holy Spirit illumine anyone who's lost in the house that come to Jesus, come in repentance. The third type of lost person is the one that may have grown up in the church and then left. See, the first parable, they're sinners from day one. You know, they don't even know. They're the people of other nations and people who never went to church. Number two are the people that are in church that are lost. And number three are the ones that went to church and then left the church. And they are lost. But something, you know, God's still moving. God's still looking for them. And they come to their senses and they come back to the church. And the Father, of course, says, welcome back. You were once lost, now you're found. You were dead and now you're alive. We all fit into one of those three categories. You'll notice, I start this with, does God ever throw a party? So when Jesus finds the lost, he tells the Pharisees and teachers of the law, I invited you. We should be rejoicing that these people that were lost have found me, have found God. Their lives are changed and transformed. You shouldn't be knocking that down. You should be church. You should be celebrating when lost people come to the Lord. The woman, she finds the coin. She calls up all the neighbors. I'm going to spend more money than the coin was worth to throw a party. Okay? We're going to throw a party. I'm going to celebrate that I found this lost coin. And there's celebration. All the angels up in heaven, there's celebration in the presence of the angels. All the saints up there are just celebrating. They're like, yeah, that's my son that just got saved. That's my grandchild that got saved. That's my neighbor that I used to know. They're all celebrating because they know the worth of the soul. The whole point, someone says the whole point of all three of those parables is that God, when someone is saved, God is celebrating and he's throwing a party. The third parable, which is directly, every commentary, it's directly about the Father. The Father puts the robe, that's the righteousness of Christ, the ring of sonship, and then says, we're going to celebrate. Invite everyone. We're going to kill the fattened calf. we are going to feast and part. And when the older son comes back, he's like, what? There's music and dancing going on. That's all about heaven. That's talking about the heaven. That's Jesus saying, here's what the Father's doing. He is celebrating and they're dancing up in however angels dance and saints. So church, do we celebrate? You know, do we actually celebrate? So I was thinking about those Chilean miners. You know, it's hot. When you're down half a mile in the earth, they were in hell. And they were lost. And I'm sure until they started drilling, because at least they could hear the drill for 12 days, I have a funny feeling they thought they were experienced. They were in hell and going to hell, you know? And it's interesting to me that the Chilean government had plan A, plan B, and plan C. Three plans to save those men. And I think it's interesting to me that God has three plans to save. One first plan was Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to pay for our sin. He's a good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep, and he's seeking lost people. God has plan B, the woman. If it's the Holy Spirit illuminating and trying to spread the light of the gospel, or if it's the church sharing the light of Jesus Christ. And God has plan three, the Heavenly Father, just waiting for someone to repent and turn around and just start back to the Father, and the Father rushes out and hugs that person. God's got three plans, too, to reach a soul. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.